For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Those of you that were here this morning know that from these same words we preach the message. The beginning of the verse, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And just simply that word glory means to vaunt yourself or to boast. And the Apostle Paul said that I will not be guilty of boasting about anything apart from Jesus Christ. He said, I'll not boast about my worldly attainments. I'll not boast about my material things. He said, I'll not boast about my education. He said, I'll not boast about the degree of my separation from the world. He said, I'm not going to be guilty of vaunting myself or crowing about anything apart from or boasting about anything apart from the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's our boast. That's our cause of rejoicing, is the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's it tonight. That's all it is. It's not, we don't boast because we're Baptist, or we don't boast because of the color of our skin, or we don't boast because of where we come from. We boast tonight simply. We crow about the cross. That's it. I mean, that's our reason to vaunt ourselves. And the Bible says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said these words, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Then he says in verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. And then these words we'll preach from tonight and teach from, but a new creature. A new creature. Those are some of the most important words in the Bible, as it gets right down to our salvation. Nothing else more important than whether or not you know for sure you're saved. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. There's nothing else that matters, really, apart from, do you know for sure you have a home in heaven? That's what matters tonight more than anything else, is whether we know. And I've said this before, and if you come here any time at all, you'll hear me say what matters is, and we understand that, not only has God given us a home in heaven, God has given us a clear way to get there. I talked to someone this week at the funeral, and she said, I hope to see him there at the funeral. And I said to her, I said, whatever you do, don't let anybody make it difficult. Don't let anybody try to make something hard that's easy. The Bible says that you can know you have a home in heaven. You can know for sure you have a home in heaven. The Bible says that in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. You know, if you studied your Bible and read that circumcision was a Hebrew rite of admittance for all the boys, and it was part of the Hebrew law, the law of Moses. And God said that when it comes to salvation, it doesn't mean anything. He said that doesn't mean a plug nickel as far as it comes to you getting to heaven, whether or not you've done that or whether or not you've tried to keep the law, the commandments. He said that doesn't mean anything. He said the only thing that matters when it comes to your soul going to heaven is whether or not you are a new creature. I like that new creature. It means this. It means that you have a new expectation beyond the grave. Everybody knows in some point in time realizes what it means to die. As a child, we may not understand what it means. And when we're little, we may not altogether comprehend what it means when someone dies. But the longer you live, and the more you see folks die, the more you understand the finality, humanly speaking, of death. To be absent from the body, and to see that person there in the casket, and to see the preacher or someone stand over the body and say the last words about that person. Then you follow as the pallbearers come and the family's dismissed and the people come by and look in down in there and say goodbye to that person. And oftentimes you've heard them say, boy, they sure look good. And they don't look good, they look dead. And that's the truth of the matter. Their eyes are sealed, and their lips are sealed, and their arms are crossed. And I remember going as a little boy, going to graveyards or cemeteries and funeral homes and not understanding that. But I understand more now what it means. And they take the body out, put it in the hearse, and they all go out to the cemetery, and they all gather around, and they have the committal service there, and the folks leave, and then they take and put the body down in the ground, and after all that's said and done, before the day's over, that body's lowered there in the ground, and the vault's sealed, and the dirt's covered over top of it, and the hurt is still there, but you don't go back out the next day and dig them up and say, well, it was just a dream. It was just a fairy tale. It's real. Death is real. It's a finality, friend. But understand this, that whenever you're a new creature in Christ, death takes on a whole different meaning. There's a new expectation beyond the grave. The truth of the matter is, if you or I go the way of all flesh, that means someday we'll breathe our last breath. But that's not the end of it as far as the Christian's concerned. I don't expect just to go out and be laid in a hole somewhere. I don't expect it for it to end whenever the preacher preaches my funeral and they say goodbye to me. I don't believe that's the end. Amen? Not because of me, but because I'm a new creature in Christ. And that new creature has an expectation that goes beyond the grave all the way to the glories of heaven. You say, preacher, is that just your opinion or is that what you believe? Well, I'm glad you asked that tonight because John 14:1 says, brother, he says, let not your heart be troubled. He said, do you believe in God? Believe also in me. He said, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Brother, listen, Jesus Christ said that whenever He leaves, He's going to prepare a place for us. And my expectation, friend, is not to live forever on this earth. Someday I expect to die. But my expectation is not merely to be put in a hole somewhere in the ground, or be burned up, or be have my ashes scattered at sea. My expectation goes far beyond all of that. Someday, friend, I'll stand in the presence of God. Someday, I'll behold Jesus in heaven. Someday, I'll walk on streets of pure gold. Someday, I'll see the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper. Someday, I'll see Jesus in His glory, in His presence. Why? Because whenever I became a new creature, my expectation changed. Everybody, whether they're a believer or not, you can expect to die. Listen, your feelings are not hurt when the insurance man comes by and says, I'd like to sell you a life insurance policy and for $100,000 or maybe more or whatever in case you die so that your family will have some benefits and they'll have enough to bury you and some money to help out with things after you're gone. We're not hurt by that. We understand that. That's part of it being adult is to realize someday you're going to die. But friend, that's not the end of the story for a Christian. A Christian can expect more than the grave.
Right.
A new creature can expect more than the grave. Not only this new creature has a new expectation, but this new creature has a new song of praise that should never cease. The Bible says that when God saved us, He gave us a new song, even praise unto our God.
Right.
Now listen, I don't like to waste a lot of time when I'm preaching. I just like to get into it, amen, say what needs to be said, and when it's done, amen. But listen, the truth of the matter is I get saved, I'm a new creature, got a new expectation beyond the grave. Number two, I got a new song that should never end. Say, preacher, when I first got saved, boy, I was on fire, some folks say. When I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody. When I first got saved, I was so excited about it. Whenever I first got saved, friend, I love to sing that song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I remember my grandpa telling about when he first got saved. He was 52 years old when he got saved. He had drunk, carried on, and lived hard his whole entire life and had no use for God or things of God or church or anything like that. But one day he got saved. He went on a got saved on a Tuesday. He went to church on a Wednesday. And there at church he heard them sing a song. We sing it here. I heard an old story, how a Savior come from glory. And that song, Victory in Jesus. And he sang every bit as good as I sing, Brother Selby. I mean, you ought to sing it on a duet, friend. Listen, and we'd have a duet and they'd have us singing solos. And so solo they couldn't hear us. But my papa was singing that song, A Victory in Jesus. And he said the guy beside him rolled the windows up in the car. And he sang louder. Why? Hey, he had been living for the devil all of his life. And man, living for the bottle, living for booze, and living that kind of a life. But God saved him. And God put a new song in his heart. Even praise unto our God. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm saved or not? You got a new song?
Yeah.
Are you a saint of the Lord? The number one way you'll know you're saved is this right here. You'll want to tell somebody about it. That's it. Number one. Listen, I hear folks say, well, you can get saved and we'll just keep it a secret. I heard someone tell me that once. A fella told me he'd been praying for his wife to get saved. And he said, now listen, he said, preacher, I got some good news to tell you. This is fact, not fiction. He said, I got some good news to tell you. He said, my wife got saved. But listen, here's the thing. Don't tell anybody. Don't say anything to her. She's kind of shy about it. She don't want anybody to know she done it. She just done it to make me happy. Honestly, he was excited about it. He was happy about it. You say, preacher, what's wrong with that? Salvation is a personal matter. You're exactly right. Salvation is a personal matter. But friend, Jesus Christ said, again, not my opinion, the Scripture, Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Yes. Listen, friend, whenever you get saved, you're not ashamed to confess Jesus Christ as your Savior. I got saved honestly. I know without a doubt I got saved when I was 7 years old. As a seven-year-old little boy, I got saved on the way home from church. I'm glad for when I got home, Mom said, you need to call somebody. I called the preacher up, and the preacher answered the phone. I said, listen, I got saved tonight. I got saved. That night, it was on a Tuesday. I went to church on Wednesday, and at church on Wednesday, they said, Travis has something to say. I was 8 years, 7 years old. I said, I got saved. Jesus saved me. He said, did you understand? Yes, I understood. Friend, because I knew what it felt like to be a born-again Christian. There was joy in my heart, friend, and I was glad to tell people that I got saved.
Right.
I was 7 or 8 years old, and we was there in the church, and on Wednesday night, everybody testified. You ever been to a church like that? Everybody testified. And listen, and before the service was over, they looked back and they said, well, we've heard from everybody tonight but Travis. I was 8 years old. And I stood up and said, I just want to stand and say I love the Lord, because that's what everybody else said. Didn't have a whole lot to say. Thank God for those who don't have a lot to say. Amen. But I had something good to say. I was standing up to say, I'm saved. That's how we identified back in that church. We all stood up and were saved to say, I'm saved.
Yeah.
Now listen, there's something wrong with this if we don't have a song in our hearts. We ought to want to tell people that we're saved. We ought to want to let people know. This is not some requirement for salvation. This is not something you do before you're saved. This is something you do after you're saved. You have a new song in your heart.
Right.
I come in one night a few while back, and Jessica told me that Autumn had got saved. Autumn, are you listening to me? I'm talking about you right now. And I said, okay, I want to talk. We'll talk to her. And she said, yeah, I'm saved. I said, well, Autumn, you got to tell somebody. I think she called Brother Eric up, and she called her nanny up in Indiana. She called Mama up and told her, and she called Jessica's mom in Indiana. She started talking about things. Autumn, how you doing? And Autumn this and that, and Autumn that. And Autumn just said, Nani, listen a minute. I got saved. She wanted to tell her, listen, hey, friend, listen, we ought not be ashamed of the fact that when you get saved, you're supposed to tell people about it. You're supposed to profess Christ. Let folks know you're saved. Hey, and if you're saved, listen, if you're saved and you ever get away from the things of God and a little away from church and you renew yourself, hey, don't be ashamed. Let folks know about it. Amen. Say, listen, I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I was away from God, but I'm back and I'm going to live for the Lord. And by God's grace, I don't want to go back to the world anymore. But listen, hey, when God gives you a song, sing the song. Amen. A new creature has a new expectation beyond the grave. Say, preacher, how do I know if I'm saved or not? Well, are you so, and I don't mean that you want to die. I don't mean that you're volunteering saying, Lord, would you call my number today? Because we all pretty much have a reason to live. You ought to have a reason to live. But they do, a new creature does have the realization that it's not over whenever the undertaker shows up at your door. Amen? A new creature has a realization that there's something more than what the grave holds. Amen? And that the grave can't hold us. If you'll check your Bible out, you'll find out that Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb. You know why? Because he was saying that which would be said of every Christian who's ever buried. We're all buried in borrowed tombs. Amen? Because we're not staying in the tomb, in the ground somewhere. The Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they that are alive and remain shall go to meet them in the air. Hey, I've got a great expectation.
Yeah.
Someday I expect to die. If I live long enough, or if I die early, whatever I expected, it's going to happen. Someday something will happen. I'll die and leave this whole world. And I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not afraid of that. But I'm going to be with Jesus when I die.
Yeah.
Sure, you can say that now. I'll say it now. By God's grace, I'll say it then. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey, why? Because my expectation goes beyond living down here forever.
That's right.
Someday I'm going to leave this world. So I don't like the way you preach. That's all right. I really don't care. I open up the can of I don't care before I come tonight. Amen. Because I just want to preach what God said.
Amen.
Hey, I've got a new expectation beyond the grave. I got a new song of praise in my heart. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you only knew just how much of a... Brother, me and Brother Ray were talking after church this morning about loving to, you know, just be alone. Not alone with each other, amen, but alone, away from people. In the company of no one but self. You wouldn't believe how much I like to be in my own company. Not because I like myself. I just...
I just like getting up. That's why I like to get up early. I like to get up early and before the kids come to say hi, Daddy, before anybody. I just like it early. Amen. I like to be on the road before everybody else gets on the road. You know what I mean? How many of you ever drive to Charleston at 8 o'clock during a school day in the morning? If you ever do that, you'll like driving at 6:30 in the morning when there's nobody on the road. Amen. And you get through that Dunbar area and it takes 45 minutes to get through it. If you'd have come through 45 minutes earlier, you could breeze right on by. Brother, listen, I enjoy solitude. I really do. I enjoy quiet. You can't believe that, but I enjoy peace and quiet. And listen, I enjoy just being to myself. But you know what? I'm up here tonight, honestly. I cannot tell you any other reason for me being up here tonight than the fact that God called me to preach. And God put something in my heart. And I want folks to know that God is good. And the Bible is true. Man, I get weary. Hey, the devil's crowd, they're not ashamed to sing the praises of the devil. They're not ashamed to exalt the opinions of the world. Why in the world couldn't some Christians not be ashamed to sing the praises of God? Hey, listen, doesn't it feel good to be able to stand up here and sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, to make a wretch like me? Doesn't it feel good to open that songbook up and sing, I heard an old story, how a Savior come from glory? It's good. Why? Because that's how you know. That's one of the ways you know you're a new creature, because you've got a new song.
Amen.
Man, you don't want to sing the world song anymore. You don't feel comfortable saying things to the world anymore. Oh, something might pop out every once in a while. That old worldly song might pop out, but you don't feel right singing the world song anymore, because a new preacher has a new song and would rather sing that new song than the old stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that includes a whole lot of whining and griping and complaining that goes on. I think you get saved and you become a new creature. I really do think God takes out a lot of that whining and complaining. I've never heard folks complain and gripe so much and bicker so much and complain about. Listen, since I've been alive, they've been Republicans and they've been Democrats and presidents. And every time there's a new election, everybody says, this is it. This is the end of the world. This is it. We'll never get through. You know what? I've seen a few of them come and go. You've seen them come and go. There's no use complaining and griping about who's the president and who's not. Hey, just go ahead and live for Jesus and praise Him and enjoy what God's given you. Man, there's no use griping about stuff like that all the time. God said, put a new song in your heart, rejoice.
Yeah.
God's on the throne.
That's right.
Someday Jesus is going to rule. His kingdom shall wax and wane no more, and we'll be His servants, and He'll reign forever on His throne in Jerusalem. That day's
right.
Coming.
Amen.
A new mind. This new creature has a new mind or a new way of thinking.
Sure does.
When you get saved, friend, if you're saved, you know that you don't think the way you used to think.
That's right.
I mean, you just, it's amazing just how God changes your way of thinking as opposed to what it used to be.
Right.
I mean, before someone's saved, the idea of going to church is not quite what they were thinking of doing on their one day off.
Right.
You get an afternoon off and you think, man, I can't wait. I got a little time off. Can't wait to go to church. You don't think that way before you're saved necessarily. You think, man, I'd just soon not do this. Listen, you get saved, you get a new way of thinking. I'm going to tell you something important about that tonight. Your thinking after you're saved is strengthened by the truths of the Scripture. You know, I never want anyone to just take my word for anything. Never do. You know what I want folks to do? I want them to open this Bible up and read this book right here.
Amen.
Brother Shelby, you and I were talking about that this week. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know what I'd like for folks to do? If there's one thing that I want folks to do after I preach, apart from getting saved, I want them to go home and open their Bible up and say, I'm going to check that story out for myself.
Yeah, right.
I want to check that out for myself. I want to see, hey, if I could just somehow or another as a preacher stir your interest in the Word of God, then friend, that really is what success in the ministry is all about. It's not getting people to walk around saying, boy, my preacher says this, and my preacher says that, my preacher says this. Hey, preachers say a lot of things. What's the Bible say? That's what's important. If the preacher ought to say something that encourages you to open the book up and see what thus saith the Lord, not what thus saith the preacher. And the preacher ought to line up with that book right there. But listen, hey, I encourage you, check it out and see whether or not it's in the book or not.
That's right.
But in the book, friends, hey, look, I ain't seen that in there. Show me that. Hey, well, listen, I encourage you to read your Bible.
Right.
I don't want your opinions to be strengthened according to what I say. It's not opinions. I'm talking about your thinking to be tuned up by the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, honestly, I've read the Bible a few times. I've heard some of you in here probably have read the Bible through 30 or 40 times. I know that that's probably the fact. I don't know. I doubt if I read it through that many times. I'm kind of a hit and miss, not that it sounds right, but I skip around. I read a little bit here, and I read a little bit there, and I'll read a little while here. And sometimes it takes me a week to read two chapters. I'll just keep reading them back and reading them over and reading them over and reading them back and going over. So I'm probably not the best example for Bible reading. There's other folks who are more thorough maybe about it, but I do read my Bible. And you know what? Every time I read it, the Bible tunes up some area of my thinking. I find something when I read the Bible. I find something and God says, you know what? I'm glad you read that. You needed that. And that's what the Bible's for. It's to help influence our way of thinking. You cannot sit for half an hour and watch a half hour newscast without your opinion being influenced. I said opinion. I'm not talking about opinions tonight. Any preacher that spends time preaching his opinion is wasting his time. Not only is he wasting his time, he's wasting the time of the people that come. Because opinions are good for one thing. You know what they're good for? Arguments. You can argue opinions. We all have opinions. I encourage, we all have different opinions about things. Yeah. Opinions don't mean anything, though. What means something is the Word of God. And this book is not a book of opinions. It's a book of precepts. It's God's commandments, God's ways, God's precepts, God's teachings about life. And that's what matters to me is not my opinion, but God's precepts.
Yeah.
Scripture is the rock upon which life is erected. You know, we can argue, man. We can argue politics. We can argue our opinions of people. It doesn't matter. What matters is what this book is right here. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 15, says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. My opinion doesn't mean anything. Oh, it does to me. Same as your opinion means something to you. But what matters is not what we think, but what the Word of God says. And a new creature has a new way of thinking. When you get saved, you become a new creature, you think different. I mean, you just don't see things the same way. And your thinking is influenced. Every time you open the Bible, your thinking is influenced. A new nature, this new creature has a new nature with spiritual appetites.
Amen.
How many of you have a certain kind of food you like? Anybody want to tell me what it is? Tell me real quick. What's your favorite?
Anybody?
Spaghetti. That's a good one. One of my favorites growing up. And broccoli. I like spaghetti and broccoli together. Amen. And who else has another favorite? Anybody has a favorite? Tell me what it is. Yes, sir. In the back. Chicken. Fried. You ought to be a preacher. Fried chicken. Anybody else? What'd you say, Mama?
Pinto beans and fried potatoes.
Pinto beans and fried potatoes. I'm with all of them. And somebody else tell me another favorite. Amen. Tell me another one. What is it?
Cake.
All right, cake. Got another one? Fettuccine. Look here, fancy. Fettuccine over there. What is it?
Macaroni
and cheese. That was my dad's favorite. My dad would go on a job and work 7-12 to eat macaroni and cheese every night of the job. That's one of his favorites. Good. Right?
Chicken Alfredo.
All right. Okay. Well, you and Jessica went. Probably everything my dad picked, that my dad said Jessica ever picked was exotic. You know, she did one of those exotic meals.
Yes,
potatoes.
Potatoes.
Now, listen here, you know what? That's everybody has a reason why you like something. I mean, there's things that I probably eat maybe you wouldn't even want to bother with. Now, one thing, I don't eat peas. I never did. I even went back and checked to make sure, and peas have no nutritional value at all, so I'm excused from eating them. How many of you like peas? That's a lot of them. You know why you like them? Because you eat them. There you go, brother. Thank you, Brother Mullins. You know why you like them? Because you developed an appetite for them. You ate them a few times and you developed a taste for them. Now, I'm going to tell you what, listen. All the time before you were saved, not one time, hardly ever. Now, maybe a little bit here and there, but rarely ever is there any spiritual appetite developed before you get saved. But you know what? The moment you get saved, instantly,
As soon as you get saved, you become a new creature in Christ, and you begin, God begins to develop in you spiritual appetites.
That's right.
Now, how much you do with that determines how much you let God work. God wants to create a greater appetite in you than ever. How many of you ever have a craving for something? You ever have? I don't have to get into it. You ever have craving? You know what? You don't crave something you don't like.
Sure.
You know, every once in a while, you ought not just have a little appetite and a little desire for the Word of God. Every once in a while, yet I get to the point where you say, boy, I need some good preaching.
Yeah.
I need... You ought to get your Bible out and say, God, I need something out of this book right now.
That's right.
God, all the things of the world, and Lord, all the stuff I've been chewing on, it don't taste right, Lord. And I've been busy, but Lord, I just pray you give me something out of the Bible today.
Right.
And pick it up and read a little bit. What is it? That's developing a spiritual appetite.
Right.
Now, the moment you get saved, though, God puts in you an appetite for spiritual things. I'll give you a couple verses on that. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Let me give you another one. 1 John 3:14 says, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I like that one. You know why? Because I've been raised in church. You have to forgive me. I was on drugs. I was drugged to church all my life. But listen, I like church. I can still remember, Brother J.R., I can still remember over there at Chandler Drive Missionary Baptist Church, I can still remember walking in and Odie Anderson shaking my hand and pulling my ear. And I can still remember going around shaking hands during the service. We'd all gather around. And I can still remember a Lawrence Cantor over here, a little fellow about that tall, no hair on his head, wore cowboy boots. And he always put a quarter in my hand when I shook his hand. Always, never failed, never missed to put that quarter in my hand. If I'd have saved all of them, I'd be rich right now. I'll never forget that fella. Listen, I remember the testimonies. I remember my Uncle Junior, when he would come, he'd always testify four or five times. And I'd always try to figure out what he was saying. I love him. He's with the Lord now in heaven. And I remember other folks' testimonies. I remember the different things about people and different stories about people and all that stuff. I've been in church all my life. You know what I like? I like church people.
Yeah.
I really do. You know why I like church? Because it's God's people.
Yeah.
I enjoy being around God's people.
Yeah.
I look forward to it. When I shake your hand, I'm not being fake. It's not a job. I don't stand there and shake your hand because I'm a politician. If I tell you I'm glad to see you, I really am.
Yeah.
You know why I am? Because I'm a new creature in Christ. Because God put a desire in me to be around His people.
Right.
You know why God done that? Because we're going to be together in heaven forever.
Yeah.
A new creature. A new creature has a new appetite. A new creature has a new expectation beyond the grave. You're not jumping up and down saying, Lord, me next. I want to go now. But you do have the realization that when you do go, you have that peace. I'm going to meet Jesus.
That's right.
I'm going to see Him. I'm leaving this old world, and I'm leaving behind my friends and my loved ones. I remember going over to St. Francis Hospital, Lorraine. I remember when Cheryl was dying. Cheryl Ingram. And I remember when Cheryl was dying, they came in, they checked his pulse, and he just about all died up and shriveled up. Dialysis had just shrunk him down in all those years, and they couldn't get a pulse. And they checked him and tried, and they checked him, and four or five nurses came in and tried, and he just laid there. And when they left, he looked at me and said, I'm not worried. He said, I wasn't worried one bit. He said, I'm ready to meet the Lord. He said, the only thing that bothers me is that I'll miss my friends. He said, I'll miss being a part of things. But on the other hand, we know that there's another shore, and Jesus waits to gather us home.
Amen.
Listen, a lost man don't understand that, but a saved man, when he gets saved, he realizes, I'm going to see my Savior. I've got friends over there. What a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see, and I'll look upon His face, the One who saved me by His grace. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Friend, listen, hey, that only comes with a new creature. You can't muster that up. That only comes with a new creature. A new song of praise that should never cease. When God saves you, He gives you a new song. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I get down every once in a while. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of Jesus Christ. No matter how far you get down, you just get to Calvary. And that's where our song comes from. It doesn't come from our worldly attainments or our health or our wealth. It comes from Calvary. That's where our song comes from. A new mind or a new way of thinking. That's not to say that the influence of the world don't get in our thoughts every once in a while, but you got a new way of thinking. It's a heavenly way, a Bible way, a new nature with spiritual appetites. You know what? Instead of just dreading things, you want to go to church. That's how you know. You want to be in God's house. You want to be in the Lord's house. You want to be with God's people. You want to read the Bible. You want to hear what the preaching says. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm a new creature? That's not the important thing. The important thing is 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There is no new creature course. Well, I like to take a course on how to be a new creature. No, sorry. There's no 5 steps to being a new creature. There's no how to be a new creature in 40 days. Or there's no new creature manual for dummies.
That's right.
You don't... Listen, the moment your faith is placed in Christ, the very moment you put your faith in Christ and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell when I die. And Lord, I don't understand everything in that book, but I know that I can't save myself. I know that I don't have that peace and assurance of where I'm going to be when I die. And I know, dear God, there's something missing, but God, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior. The moment you put your faith in Him, right then and there, you become a new creature. Honestly, you say, Rachel, I've never experienced that. Well, then that's why I'm preaching it tonight. I'm not preaching it to earn brownie points with anybody. I'm preaching it so that you'll learn how to know for sure you're saved. And if you never become a new creature, you're missing something. Listen, when God saves you, you want to tell people. Tony said, yeah, I've just seen you there. You got saved. And Tony had been wrestling with it, trying to understand it, trying to get saved, and trying to figure things out. And one morning, he settled. He knew he was saved. And that night, within 24 hours, he was down on the farm knocking on the door. He wanted to tell Dad about it. He wanted to let him know he was saved. Why? Because he'd been trying to witness him to him. And he knew he cared about him. And he wanted to go tell him, hey, I doubt it. I got saved.
Yeah.
And you'll want to tell somebody when you get saved. Well, listen, friend. Hey, you'll want to let folks know about it. Amen. You'll want folks to know. The moment your faith is placed in Christ, you become, right then and there, you become a new creature. Not after you're baptized. Not after you've been in church for 40 years. You become a new creature. You say, preacher, I'm trying to become all that stuff and then I'll get saved. It'll never happen. You're putting the cart before the horse. The word Christ is the word Christos. It means anointed of God. When they take a ship, they anoint the ship. It's anointed for a purpose,
right,
voyage. And before Jesus ever left heaven, He was anointed of God to be the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world. There's no other substitute for my sins. There's no other passageway to heaven for Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's religions, there's way, there's teachings, there's... man, listen, you just take among Christianity. There's Baptist, and there's Nazarene, and there's Methodist, and there's Church of Christ, and Church of God, and all that stuff. Friend, listen, I'm not arguing any of that. But you get to heaven with a tag on, it'll fall off. And if you go to hell with one of those tags, it'll burn off. You're not saved by what tag you wear. You're saved by whether or not your faith is fixed in Christ.
Yeah.
If your faith is in a Baptist church, I'm sorry, but you're not a new creature.
Right.
Your faith has to be in Christ.
In Christ.
In Christ, because He's the anointed. The Baptist church was not anointed of God to take away the sins of the world, but I got good news. Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
And if your faith is in Christ, your sins are gone.
Right.
You're a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things are passed away. Listen, guess what? Regardless of how many times the devil might remind you of them, all things are become new.
Yeah.
Amen. That ought to be good.
Yeah.
Christ, Christos, anointed of God. Listen, here's the most important statement you might hear me ever make. No one becomes a Christian. You are made a new creature by faith in Jesus Christ. All the time you'll hear people say, you ought to become a Christian. You can't. You can't become a Christian. Because that denotes the idea of a process where you arrive somewhere. You're becoming something. You become a Christian. It gives you the idea that gradually you're going to put away old things and you're going to change your language and you're going to change your desires and eventually you're going to change your attitude and your appetite, and then you'll get to that place where finally you can say yes to Jesus. That don't ever happen.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do is be saved just as you are. I'll tell you this story and I'll be done. There was a fellow that had in mind that he wanted to draw a sketch of a derelict, a homeless man, down and out or whatever. And he wanted one that fit the T, that just, I mean, one that was disheveled and his clothes worn and just it was obvious that he had been out in the elements for a long time, away from family, away from friends. He wanted to be able to see it in his face and his look and everything. And he went down to the streets of the city and he found a man that he thought fit the mold. He told the man, he said, "I would like to draw a picture of you." He said, "Would you mind to come to such and such address tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock sharp? Would you please be there? I want to draw a picture of you. Would you please come and let me draw a picture? I have a reward that I'll give you. I'm going to give you $250 if you'll come and let me draw your picture." Well, the man was excited. He was thrilled to death about it. So much so that he left there instantly and he went to the mission. He hadn't been to the mission. They'd invited him to come. But he went to the mission and he asked the people, he said, "Can I take a shower?" And they said, "Sure, you can have a shower." He said, "Can I use your facilities? I'd like to take a shower." And he said, "Can I get a haircut?" And they said, "Yeah, we'll get you a haircut." He said, when he got done, he said, "Oh, I've got these old clothes." He said, "Do you have any new clothes?" He said, "I need some new clothes." And he said, "I've got to have my hair fixed." And he said, "Would it be all right if I stayed here tonight?" He said, "I don't want to be out on the streets tonight." And so they cleaned him up and gave him a haircut and put a new set of clothes on him from the mission store and let him sleep in the nice. They fed him a good breakfast. And boy, the color came back in his face and he showed up at 12 o'clock the next day. He said, "I'm here." The fellow said, "You're here." He said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm the fellow you want to draw the picture of." He said, "I'm here." He said, "Oh, buddy," he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "You misunderstood." He said, I wanted you just as you were. He said, "I didn't want you to come to me and show me your ability to clean up yourself." He said, "I wanted you just like I found you the other day." Now listen, you don't have to be that far down the way, but no matter where you are tonight, God wants you just where you are.
That's right.
And if you believe the devil's lie that you have to become something else in order for God to accept you and put your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll live your life and you'll miss heaven because you'll never become good enough for Jesus.
That's right.
You have to believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Tonight, there's times that I would just soon be still and be quiet and mind my own business. Not only did God save me and make me a new creature, God called me to preach, and I'm glad for the opportunity and the privilege not to preach my opinions, but to preach this blessed book and to give folks the assurance that you don't have to die and go to hell. You can have a home in heaven.
That's right.
Say, "Preacher, I don't feel like a very good Christian tonight." I've got good news for you too. It's not you that makes yourself a good Christian. It's that new creature. You just yield to God. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God that came to live inside of you. The moment God saved you, the Spirit moved in. Yield to Him. Read this book right here. Do your best. Try to be at church as often as possible. And read the Word of God as often as... Keep it with you. Don't be ashamed of it. Keep it with you. And say, "God, help me." And you know what? God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And God will work on that new creature. And before long, folks will forget about that old guy. Oh, some folks, it's faster than others. I told you about my grandpa. He had a guy he worked with, and the guy told him, he said, "JC," he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "You may not want to hear it." He said, "But I never have liked you." He said, "All the time I've worked with you," he said, "I didn't like you." He said, "But you're not the man you used to be." He said, "There's something different in you."
Right.
He said, "You just changed overnight."
Yeah.
He said, "What's happened to you?" He said, "The Lord saved me."
Yeah.
"And the Lord changed me."
Yeah.
It wasn't long. They gave him a set of keys, and he was the first one to the church and opened the church house up and turned the lights on, and he was the last one to leave because God saved him. God changed him. He became a new creature. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, if there's anything in the world that religious or churches do or preachers do, it's we try to put upon ourselves some burden that, Lord, that somehow or another we've got to make ourselves good Christians or we've got to do something to become a Christian. Or I believe all of that is a lie of the devil. All we can do is yield to you and you're working in us. We have to yield to you to be saved, and after we're saved, we yield to you to make us and your leadership in our life to mold us. And dear God in heaven, may the folks in this church, Lord, not try to put upon themselves that burden, but may we put it on you. And let you have your perfect work in us.
Yes.
He that hath begun a good work in us will perform it to the day of Christ Jesus. God, help us tonight to simply say and be honest with ourselves and say, if we're not saved, if there's one here without Christ, may they honestly say, you know what? Lord, I know that new creature has never been formed in me. Lord, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe He rose again. I believe He's my only hope of salvation, and I accept Christ for myself tonight. God, save me. Give me a home in heaven when I die. And may those who are saved tonight accept the fact that the work that's being done in them is the work of the Holy Spirit. And our job is to yield and let God have His way with us. God, help us tonight now as we have the invitation. In Your name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed.